Oh, that eagle always makes me happy every time I hear it. Hey, everybody, welcome back to episode 16 of Keeping It 1492. I'm Josh. I'm joined today, as always, by Kyle. Kyle, what's up?
Sweet 16.
That's all I'm thinking about. It's our sweet 16.
Age of consent.
We forgot to celebrate our quinceañera last podcast, but we're American, and we don't tolerate quinceañeras. We're sending all the 15-year-olds out of this country in a few months.
Does this mean our podcast gets like a really fancy TV show and we get prizes and like a gigantic car at the very end of the episode?
Oh, I forgot about that show.
Remember?
Thanks for bringing back some good memories. Tom, who's back this week, who was absent last week because he was checking out his options on his sex change he was looking into.
Yeah, I was in the Poconos, or the Pokes, as it's called for short, which means Kyle's now the only person that has not missed an episode. He's our Iron Man.
Wow. So, I feel like if you guys voted at the a few weeks ago, or at the start of the podcast, you would have thought I would miss the most, but here I am.
Yeah, I really would have, but that's how it works.
What, Tom, you take more vacations than anybody I fucking
know. I don't. I go away Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day.
What did you do in the Poconos?
Hung out, went to a Amish farmer's market, drank some beverages, ate some food.
Do the Amish and the Pokes have, like, bedazzled farmer hats?
No, pretty much your standard, like, farmer's market around here if you went to an Amish market. One guy had a super big beard, though, you'd have been proud. It was literally, like, a good foot down.
You gotta be careful, though, because I hear they're all in the mafia. They'll gun you down because guns.
There was that one show on the History Channel called Amish Mafia. I don't know if you guys saw it.
I think it was like a season or two. That's what Kyle was alluding to.
Yeah, and my father really liked that show. And guns, fun fact, they don't require electricity.
No, and I didn't know if these people were Amish or Mennonites, so I don't know how.
You know what I really feel bad for the Amish is that they can never listen to the song Electric Avenue.
That's a terrible
thing. They do during their... I'm sure that song is what converts a lot of young Amish. When the Amish go on their broom hushka, which is when go out into the sinful world and see if you don't like being Amish.
Jebediah, you think you've had it all, but listen to this.
One of my favorite parts about it was because I was in Pennsylvania, so these were actual, like, Pennsylvania Dutch Amish people, like the OGs. So they had the straight-up, you know, Amish accent from Pennsylvania, like, heavy with the German and the Quakerness in it.
Yeah.
It's pretty fulfilling.
Well, Tom, it's an untouched market for you. You're a single guy. You maybe meet a nice Amish woman, tender farm, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I couldn't give up all this. Everything all before this. My eyes. Recording a mildly successful podcast in a dingy basement.
Yeah. I have to go back home. I have a podcast to tend to.
And do you see me being able to plow 40 acres?
No, Tom. I don't. No, to be honest with you, I don't. But I'm glad I think you've actually hit the Guinness Book of World Record for most vacations taken in a year. I don't know if most
three.
Of the...
Most people Tom, take three vacations. It's very common to go away for holidays.
It is. He's like the... Like a Spaniard who takes
siestas. He's went to North Carolina more than I've went away this year.
I went to North Carolina twice.
This
year, and if in November you could say three times, I think.
Yeah, I don't go away for Thanksgiving or Christmas, the traditional holidays people go away
for. I'm just saying you got to be careful because I think you're about to be smited by God, and that's not going to be cool.
And how many times do you go away for concerts a year?
Tom, I do work usually 52 weeks out of the year. On average, this year I got about 20 vacation days, so I used them.
Why don't you try mine as well? Tom, why don't you try taking a rest on Sunday, the day that God took a rest?
Right.
Because like I work in retail and that's not allowed.
Tom, I'm just saying you take a lot of vacations. But there's nothing wrong with vacations.
I'm not going to have another vacation until next May. That's like a year away.
Okay. I just go
on three in like a 10-week period. That's why it seems like so many.
So I'm going to give you some goals, Tom, from here to May. You have a lot of free time on your hands. So check out the match.com. Meet yourself a nice lady.
I already have. I've failed with 437 women so far.
What? You haven't gone on 437 dates.
No, that's how many women I messaged that rejected my advances.
How? Are you doing mass messaging? Is it like...
No. Just, dude, I've been on there for like 8 months.
That's 437 and no one's responded to you?
Hey, Thomas Edison failed at more inventions than that. Not like too many more, but... But, you know, like, it means you're getting close. It means you're getting close to the light bulb.
You know what?
I like that half compliment. Like, half build your self-esteem while tearing you down.
But also, Edison was... Edison gifted a motion picture camera as well as a reel of his penis. So it was in, like, one of those wind-up, so the women...
So the original dick pic.
Yeah, they were really committed to it, and they could, like, see it, like, move up and down, kind of like that beast from Neverending Story.
Oh, I just watched that.
Dude, I fucking hate that movie, but what was that dog's name?
It had really cool visuals and stuff, though. I mean, like, the kid was so fucking annoying, but...
I hated the princess girl, who's like, was his name, like, Elliot or something? Or is that...
Atreyu.
Go! Yeah, Atreyu!
After the, one of the greatest emo bands of Tom's repertoire.
Well, you don't title a movie as a kid Neverending Story and put that in and you're like, what's the name of this movie? Neverending Story. And then it happens to be the worst fucking movie of all time. And as a kid, you feel like you're like screwed.
Dude, that dragon was chill though. It was like half dog, half dragon.
Who like
made you feel comfortable?
Who just ate your weed stash. Right? He's a pretty chill dog.
But back to Thomas Edison, I just want a disclaimer. Fuck Thomas Edison. He was a dick. Nikola Tesla was a lot better.
Yeah, who won?
Nikola won in the long run.
He did.
Which is what he foresaw.
All I remember is learning about Edison. I know Tesla's the name of a car brand.
Textbooks just belong in the fire.
You're a history teacher.
Yeah, I hate textbooks. You should just be reading primary sources.
I think your kids would hate you. You give them a whole bunch of primary sources for every assignment.
You're going to get a lot.
I think we all now are witnessing the admiration of Tesla over Edison. That Edison was just a punk. A punk-ass bitch.
There's actually a drunk history where it talks about like the beginnings of like Universal Studios. And it was basically like a fuck you to Edison because he tried to have like a monopoly over like every... film and he like stole the idea of like the film projector, you know,
right,
the precursor.
And he tried having like selling them to each like company and they would have to charge like pay a rental fee and stuff to use
yeah
them. What a joke. But an entrepreneur,
he was a businessman foremost, and as we know, businessmen are a lot more ethical than the people who actually produce things.
That is true. Speaking of low production, this week our podcast topic will be Rochester, and Tom's very excited for this. I can see him biting his nails over there. Mm.
Yeah, we can talk about the big black hole that is our Rochester.
No, well, Rochester's got a lot of good and bad. I think we'll be looking to touch on both.
Yes.
So, anybody want to kick it off this week?
Yeah, Kyle sent me an essay of thoughts, so we should probably let him go.
An essay? No. Well,
dude, you sent me like a 4-page text.
I only have one question and one follow-up question on my notes today.
And 4 sub-points.
Yes, garbage plates.
Kind of like an outro thing, maybe. Well, I don't know. But,
we'll fill it out.
So, let's start out like, you know, when we're kids, like, we're all not from Rochester. We're from, like, suburban or sub-rural areas around Rochester. So, what were your impressions of Rochester as a kid? Because, you know, you don't really know the city, but you kind of see it in little bits, maybe, or...
I didn't really have any. I live, like, 35 miles away. I never came here. The closest I came was Henrietta. For, like, shopping. I never actually went into Rochester.
Shopping
like
makes me get close to coming, too.
So, for me, I really didn't have any. I didn't actually visit or go out in Rochester until I was 21.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I just drove through Rochester to get to Brockport for school.
So, you just, like, kind of drove by
yep.
it? And
490 just through the city. That was the only interaction I had with Rochester until I was 21. Like, I never had to go in the city to visit anyone to get anything. So Rochester's just kind of this place I passed with a few big buildings for the majority of my life.
Did you look out the window with big eyes? Like, look at all the big buildings.
No, because I've been going to Toronto since I was 10 years old. So
Rochester
is not resemblant to that. Like, we have like 200,000 people in a big building. Toronto has 4 million people in a lot of big buildings.
Why are you trying to sound super pretentious right now?
No, I'm just saying, like...
I've gone to Toronto.
Well, I did, Rochester. So, as a little kid, so I'm just saying, size-wise, Rochester's not as expansive.
Rochester is already better than Toronto, because Americans are better than Canadians, am I right, up high?
Hey, did Toronto build a fast ferry?
Oh, yeah.
No.
No.
Take Rochester. Your boot and shove it, Tim.
No, it didn't fail. It never got built, right?
Hey, it got built. It got built. My uncle wrote it, and you know what he said about it? He felt like he was on Star Trek.
Really?
The Fast Ferry, it felt like he was on the Enterprise.
Oh, yeah, Tim. My mom looked into doing it one time. We were going up to Toronto, and the cost of the car was just outrageous, so we ended up not doing it. I do remember now.
Well,
it was very, very expensive to, like, take your car on the ferry to Toronto.
Take your car on the ferry?
Yeah, because it was a ferry. You could put cars on it. So, like, if you want to have your car in Toronto, drive around.
I don't know. Well,
yeah, it was a thing.
No, I think that was a thing, yeah.
It was a
thing for the blue bloods of Canandaigua.
Yeah. That's what we were.
The blue bloods of Canandaigua.
The regular Roosevelt of Canandaigua.
I don't even know what that phrase applies to. But it's,
I think
it's
he's trying to call me fancy, or saying that something fancy people do is they would take their car on a ferry.
Aren't there, because they have Mounties in Canada, and they have...
Mounties are like the Canadian FBI.
Aren't they called, aren't there like police called like Constable, or is that...
That's a British thing. They could be though.
I was just recently watching a Catfish when they went to Canada, and they like the police had a weird title. The policeman did. So that's my only perspective of Canada.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know how much they really separated themselves from Britain as far as like terms and stuff.
Right.
Yeah, they have their own national anthem, where like Australia's is still God Save the Queen, even though they've been independent for 120 years, I believe. I think it was in the late 1800s.
No, I think it was the 1920s.
Was it? Okay.
The Commonwealth.
So I think they still have it.
So
at least I believe so. To our Australian listeners, download all our episodes. If not, I'm sorry.
The one person in Australia who we think we know
never got out.
It might be actually later than 20s.
Do you think it's even more?
I just have a few Australian coins from my great grandfather who was in the Navy.
Big fan of Mel Gibson, Crocodile Dundee on my top five. We love you, Australia.
Have you ever seen the original Mad Max?
Yeah.
Oh, they became an independent nation on New Year's 1901.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Because I have, like, coins that say Commonwealth of Australia.
Australia became an independent nation on 1 January 1901.
Wow.
Wow, that's a great Independence Day.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what... Maybe these coins are from
universe. You know, like, there's different dates, too, where there's, like... where you can, like, run yourself independently from, like, a Commonwealth or a like your overseer nation, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, they might have just like called themselves a Commonwealth on the coins just to like, you know, tip a teacup to their old masters.
Well, Tom,
I'm sorry, I'm getting sidetracked, so I'm going to stop. Let's get back to let's get into our topic.
So,
we're actually going to let's
so
get back. Sorry,
this isn't the Toronto topic this week.
I was starting to nap over here with all this Canadian talk.
Australia's
now. Go back to your free.
I'm
healthcare.
Sorry, I'm trying to relate to one of our few diehard listeners.
Do we have listeners in Canada?
Australia. We've been talking about Australia.
Yeah, I know, but we don't have any in Canada, so...
We actually don't, no.
That's weird, you know? Like, fuck you, Canada. You're so pretentious that we got listeners all over the globe. But,
we change our logo to just Justin Bieber. There we go.
Maybe the North, no?
Maybe we have to embark on a concentrated marketing campaign in the Great White North.
We should go to Toronto, because I've never really been... I've been, like, in a hotel Toronto, and I've never really seen it.
We'll call them concentration camps of the areas we should look into getting more.
You know, it's not even a big deal saying concentration camps anymore, since Sheriff Arapayo or whatever, he called his tent city a concentration camp, so now anyone can say it.
Did he get pardoned? Did that happen?
Yeah, it happened right after Hurricane Harvey. Perfect time.
Sorry, I was on vacation.
I would, if I was a teacher, I would call like a library a concentration camp, because like that's where kids go to read and concentrate on their schoolwork. Get to the concentration camp and go get some good grades.
Yeah, I don't think
Let's get back, Josh. What were your impressions of Rochester, New York as a child? Do you think it was the greatest place ever with the biggest buildings ever and the best people ever?
So I have a few, I have very unique experiences, but mostly like one of my fondest memories growing up was the monorail in Midtown. I would ride that during...
Oh, then you go see Santa Claus.
How old are you?
Tom, fuck you. I'm 30. I'm going to just call myself, I'm 30. And then it was going to Silver Stadium and seeing the Red Wings play. I remember like the old like silver kind of like they weren't actually seats, but they're more just like bleachers. And then I used to go and walk the streets of Rochester like when I was 14 or 15, actually no, younger than that, with a video camera, and I'd like walk around and just make videos. But like I got a really like close up view of like a, like poverty and just like mental illness and shit was pretty crazy. But as I have a lot of good memories of the city.
When I was growing up, you see, I was actually like born in Charlotte, which is part of Rochester, closer to the lake up by the north. Moved out when I was six, and my grandparents still, like both of my grandparents on both sides, still lived in the city. My parents grew up in the 10th Ward, which is kind of became a rougher neighborhood, like pretty much like between the 70s and 90s. And so I would go to my grandparents a lot, like whole summers getting babysat there and everything. And I remember really liking going to the city just for like the thrill of the city, especially if I went like downtown for like an event similar to what Josh said, you know, like go to like the War Memorial, see a concert. It's cool to see all the buildings and stuff. But I remember not really having like a real connected view of the city. Like I had no cardinal knowledge of like where I was and like how streets connected to each other, how neighborhoods were arranged. But in the 10th Ward, it was kind of weird because my parents and grandparents would kind of, we would still play outside and stuff, but it was kind of like you have to like really be careful. And my parents would treat it like it's like the hood, you know, and you have to like not like go off on your own and like wander the streets. And so there was kind of that weird aspect where like I'm excited to be in the city.
So,
but
you
then
got to experience our awesome crime rate as a child.
I feel like I didn't really experience it so much as like my parents and grandparents would like make me more fearful of it. Like I don't think it was quite as bad as they made it out to be. I mean, obviously being a kid, I shouldn't have been wandering around the city.
That's a good especially rule of thumb.
Yeah, especially like, you know, that neighborhood. But at the same time, I feel like they kind of, they were pretty racist. I mean, like, sometimes it was very, like, subtle racist, but other, you know, especially my grandparents, it was very blatant. They felt like, you know, like, black people, foreign people kind of, like, overran their neighborhood that used to be, like, an all-white neighborhood. And that's what caused a lot of people to leave Rochester to go to the suburbs. And Rochester's not the only city like that. It's like a phenomenon called white flight.
Well, but gentrification's bad.
But it's weird. Like I remember my grandfather, I used to get babysat in the summer when I was a kid growing up, and he would just sit on his front porch. He would sit on his front porch with a
Jenny and a shotgun?
No, I mean some Jennies probably, but he was drinking, then he quit, and then he relapsed for a little bit, but then he quit again. But he would just listen to the police scanner and like just like be all like into it, like up. I saw that kid on his moped doing wheelies down the street, and they mentioned on the police scanner, like and that was like, you know, just like this like crime watch. But you know, there was a lot of kind of like paranoia about it that was weird.
You're telling personal stories, man. I don't, no one interjects.
No, I just,
going on,
I'm fascinated by, like, I don't know why, like, the actions of our elderly really interest me, because just, like, how, I'm sorry, I was actually enjoying your story, because, like, my grandma used to go into each room and, like, pray. I love my grandma, but, she would go into each room and, like, say a prayer before she entered each room, and then I remember her pantry was labeled with the exact dates of when she got like every object in that room. So I would like, you'd turn something over, it would be November the 9th, 1990, like stuff like that. I don't know. That's why I like kind of just thought like, when,
because expiration dates are always too hard to find.
Right. No, but I mean, it was for objects. So it like Tom's, Blue Jays hat, like him, like knowing the exact date and who he got it from and stuff like that. It was pretty crazy. But yeah, police scanners, old people love it.
So, I mean, I think that kind of, it's just that impression everyone has about Rochester. We like a lot of aspects of it, but then there's this kind of uneasiness about like the violence, the crime, the poverty. Some people look at it like pretty melancholy, like, you know, as you know, they blame corporations leaving or whatever, and then other people are pretty darn racist about it.
And they, I mean
all that stuff has a it's one massive effect.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely it's not interrelated.
One thing doesn't cause the other, it's a whole bunch of factors.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Bigger things like the Boston Laws and the Codex not really existing.
Well, Rochester was a microcosm of what was going on nationally, because it was going on, especially in the Rust Belt, which Rochester is considered a part of it, just with all businesses up and going. But we're now seeing a point of...
Detroit, Cleveland, Buffalo,
no, but even like places like Pittsburgh are... Pittsburgh's thriving at the moment. I know they're a bigger city, but they found ways to, you know, make things work. And I mean, I think what Kyle was going on is like, yeah, we witnessed, especially now, I we're more on an upswing, but we witnessed the downfall of the city, because this was one of, we're still one of the largest cities in the state,
even in the nation. We're in like, you know, like top 50 maybe, or
sorry, there's a let me set up a scene for you. There's a car horn honking, and like, in our viewers, please close your eyes and picture a car horn honking, and then ask yourself, why are they honking so loud?
I think they probably heard it. But
I hope
story.
I'm not
good
blocking...
Imagery.
Can you see if I'm blocking that driveway at all up there?
I actually... I'll look.
Did you park in front of the driveway?
I mean, I not in front of it, but I feel like I might have been in front of it an inch. I was going to try to check.
Cue the listeners in. Kyle, it is dark outside, so I can't see anything.
I think I'm fine.
Okay.
I think we're only going to...
Okay. You would hear angry knocking soon.
Listeners, this is you possibly listening to Kyle getting a $50 parking ticket.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be. It would be just a pissed off neighbor.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to look to see if I was, like, an inch into this person's driveway, because I was by, like, the sign, no parking here to corner. But, you know, I wouldn't be more than, like, an inch in your driveway, so I don't think that constitutes the angry horn.
So, we've touched base on kind of what our earliest memories of Rochester are, and now I guess the question should really be like, there are certain things that we like about Rochester. I guess maybe that's what we should talk about, but what's kind of keeping us in Rochester especially. I mean, I guess I can start it off, but like, things I really enjoy about the city is kind of, it's a, like, certain areas of the city is feels like it's a, you have a small town vibe, but you know, you're in the city and there's still a lot to do. I know we don't have like a lot of large scale events, but there's always, it seems, always stuff going on. Summertime around here, I don't think there's a better place in the country to be. You know, weathers tend to be pretty, not too hot, you know, usually below 90. But lots of, you can camp, tons of scenery around us, like, you know, you 2-hour drive up to Ithaca. Obviously, we have a bunch of sports. I know Kyle doesn't like sports, but then I'm a big concert guy, tons of concerts to see. And Rochester is known as like a festival city, because we always have those lame little arts festivals every freaking weekend, which I guess is a part of its charm, but you know, it is what it is. But what are some things you guys like about the city, Thomas?
I don't really go on Rochester. I mean, I go out with you guys on like a Friday. Dude, I don't...
He shuts these things down.
I don't...
Canada's better.
I don't do things really. Like, I work... Like, I don't really get to get out because I work in retail. I work weekends. Like, when everyone's out, like, doing all this stuff, I'm at work. So, I don't get to experience Rochester like that. I'm sorry. This is not a good question to ask me just because...
So...
I don't do that stuff, dude.
Tom, this is what you need to be doing to amp up your Match.com profile. I'm not... There's a direct correlation why you're not getting responses. When a girl asks you, hey, what do you like to do in the city? Well, I don't know, Canada's way better than Rochester. Like, oh, why do you keep talking about Canada? No, I'm messing with you, Tom, but...
No, I really haven't got to do that stuff, just because, like, when everyone's out doing that crap, I'm at work.
So, you should get another job, Monday through Friday, but there's still time to get out and do things, Tom. So, I guess maybe that should be a goal of yours, to go and experience the city that you pay to live in, that you're so close to everything, you... are in a good part of the city. Tom lives off of Park Avenue in Rochester, which is a very upscale place to live.
Now they know where we record. That's not good.
They don't know exactly where we record.
It's not a big street.
Joe Rogan's going to come and assassinate us to eliminate competition.
So, Kyle, what do you like to do in the city?
I really like the aesthetics. Aesthetics?
Aesthetics?
Aesthetics? Yeah, if I don't try to do the TH, that sounds better.
Yeah, see, now I'm
I like aesthetics. The aesthetics of yeah. Rochester.
aesthetics.
So Rochester is like a super old city. It's actually one of the like the oldest cities in the nation. We're known as the first inland boom town, which means most of the big cities in the country were like seaports, big trading places, and Rochester is more. We kind of got the lake in Charlotte where I was born, but then. The center of the city is where the Genesee River intersects with the Erie Canal, and so that that brought a lot of like inland trade, and literally almost literally overnight, Rochester just became this like super crazy busy city in like the 1830s. So I love walking around and just seeing like the old mansions, the old architecture. We have Olmsted Parks. That's Frederick Law Olmsted. He's the same guy that designed Central Park. He made like three different parks around here. Did I say museums already?
No,
museums. I feel like we have a lot of things that if somebody came to Rochester with our current economy, they'd be like, "Nah, I'm not going to build any of those things here." But since since we had this like rich past of first like a big boom in the 1800s, and then through Kodak kind of spurring that on, we have it's almost like decadence to see all these mansions around, to see this like old style architecture when some other things maybe aren't so nice. But I feel like that stuff kind of spurs us on, like gives us that spirit that like, mm-hmm. yeah, we're not gonna let this place completely die. Yeah. It's worth saving.
Kyle, the next street up, that Frank Lloyd Wright guy has a house.
Yeah, the Frank Lloyd Wright house, which is on my
that dude football rights.
I was gonna say it the wrong way, so I had to make sure I said it correctly.
That's on the street that has the my favorite corner in Rochester, my favorite corner in the world.
Why do you have a favorite corner in the world?
Because it's the corner of East Ave and East Boulevard. And if I ever lived in that mansion there, not the Frank Lloyd Wright house, that's on East Boulevard.
The one with the gigantic American flag.
Yeah, there's this mansion with a gigantic American flag hanging from it. If you sneak through the bushes, you can see a peek of it. And it's on the corner of East Ave and East Boulevard. Imagine just the pretension being able to say, like, "Oh, I'm on the corner of East and East."
Well, you did bring up, though, one you brought up, the Erie Canal, which is obviously something which is crazy, a man-made structure to think about. Like, we went to school...
Clinton's Ditch.
Right. We literally went to school right next to the Erie Canal. You know, and that's something to think about. And I lost focus a lot about, like, but when you talk about, like, oh, the Erie Canal, you're like, wow, that's a freaking crazy feat. But also, all the things Rochester has to offer throughout its history and all the historical figures. I would even go to say this, that we have a much more vibrant history compared to cities such as Buffalo, such as Syracuse. I would say, you know, we're up there, obviously not... We're up there with New York City, but not as historical as New York City. But we've had a lot of famous moments and favorite famous characters and favorite famous brands that have come from this city. So
we never had a tea party, though.
Well,
we could. No.
Maybe I want to throw a tea party.
But think about this. Susan B. Anthony, right? Frederick Douglass. Probably two of the most famous historical names, in America. Correct? Would you say so?
Yeah.
And both from Rochester. And I mean, that's... just skimming the top of the pot, but like...
And honestly, there's like more and more... I think we are in a time when, we've already reached the low point, and we're starting to rise up. A lot of younger people are moving to Rochester. I know it's like gentrification, but I think we'll get beyond that too. There's more and more interest in like Rochester history, and all these like cool little... things about Rochester coming up, like, French's mustard used to be, like, mm-hmm. yellow mustard was invented in Rochester.
Bauschalams. Well, Bauschalam.
There's two of them. Marshmallows.
Marshmallows
from Rochester. From Rochester.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
The chicken French.
I always forget that.
I love chicken French. But that's kind of an upstate New York thing.
Yeah, lots of lots of, like, you know, huge history, but also, like, all this stuff that kind of goes under the radar. Someone told me when I interned at the Historical Society, the one guy was, like, huge into baseball history, and the first curveball, I guess, was thrown in Rochester.
I didn't know that. I do know that Rochester Red Wings are one of the five oldest professional sports franchises in the country.
Wow.
Is that for real?
Hmm.
Okay.
Because they were, I think, established in, like, the 1850s or 60s.
And I should point out, even though I don't follow sports, I don't like following it, I still like going to games and stuff. I think it's neat to...
Well, Rochester sports are cheap, too. Like, for most things, $10 can get you into it.
Yeah, that's
pretty much
what
any
I mean.
Team,
like,
here, I believe.
Yeah, you go to a Red Wings game, a Amherst game.
And then they'll have, like, dollar hot dog nights and dollar, like, 6 ounce beer nights that you can go to.
And we just got for the booze. People look down on Rochester because of all the hype about crime. And I was in a class with a English exchange student, like, last spring, and had, like, an icebreaker thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, I live, like, in Rochester downtown. And she was like, oh, you live in Rochester? Don't they have the highest murder rate in the world, or in the country? And just like, like, if you're, like...
To be fair, the stats, I mean, they bear that out. It's not like it's a myth or it's overblown.
But it's like, at the same time, it's like, well, you know, you look at murders, and most murders are between people who know each other, you know?
Yeah, well, it's just... Yeah. In the stats, we're in the bottom 7% for safety of all the cities in America.
But
it's not like it's not like it's
you
this
know,
made up thing.
But you, those are, they're definitely confined to certain areas in the cities.
So. Oh, I understand that. Like any city, I'm just saying when people get that assumption, it's not like it's misguided or the news is blowing out of proportion.
Oh, right.
I mean, every crime statistic, you don't make those up; they get reported. It's
I would say on average, there's probably about one shooting a day.
Yeah, probably. I think. Part of it is, you know, because that's like murder rate per capita. I think our size highlights our biggest problems, whereas larger cities, those problems kind of get more swept under the rug.
Right.
Yeah. For reference for our three listeners that don't live in Rochester, probably, and Australia, Rochester's city is 210,000 people. So in terms of city, it's not massive or sprawling.
Part of what makes Rochester seem bigger is we do have...
Well, like with the metro area, like all the big... Like, because Greece and Henrietta are cities onto themselves.
Yeah.
So when you start out the metro, we're like 780,000.
And that's kind of what's cool about Rochester to me is that, you know, like the city's kind of this like central thing, but then like there's so many offshoots that give you a whole different fields, whole different environments.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like, you know, like a large city like Boston, like it's kind of more like, yeah, all these areas are nice and like everyone knows like not to go to the north side or, you know, like stuff like that. And here it's, you know, a little more sporadic, like the areas are a little more confined and we're kind of closer together. Like the good areas and the bad areas are kind of more smushed together in some ways.
Well, Tom, didn't you get mugged in...
Yeah, I'm a victim. I got mugged
on
like...
East Ave, right? Or
no, I it was like a 5 minute walk from here. It was right on the other side of Culver. It was in a nicer part.
So I guess that's an exception.
Yeah.
Well,
saying
I don't
it's
even
like
think it's an exception. I think it
Well, no, the police
happens
the police told me they're coming down from the bad parts to rob people that they assume have money in the nicer parts of the city. It's actually it's a common thing that's happening in Rochester now. At least that's what they told me last year when it happened to me.
Really?
It was not like an epidemic, but it was becoming much more common with people like biking or, you know, however they get there, taking a 3 mile ride from the bad parts of the city to come to the nicer areas where we live to rob people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They
so
go
little,
to the
little
places
preface
where
to listeners,
they,
if I sound a bit somber on all this stuff, it's because of that incident. I don't have a pie in the sky view of Rochester when you're a victim of a felony crime. I'm not saying that. No, there's nothing to say to that. I'm just saying like that's going to change your outlook on how you view things.
I mean, definitely. I mean, there's no. Yeah, you can't be asked to like forget about something like that. It's definitely.
So, well, going off of that, there's things we're most known for right now. I would say
plates.
Well, not obviously garbage plates, but then you have we just touched base on crime. on poverty.
Abolitionist movement.
I would say the economy is another thing Rochester's known for, is the poor-ass economy, because it kind of ties in with the exodus of our big companies of Bausch Lomb,
Kodak, Xerox, losing like 85-90% of its used to be workforce.
And right now, the two biggest employers in our city are actually U of R and, I believe, actually top three, U of R, Weichmann's, and Paychex.
I think like Sutherland's up there.
Right, but they all pay well below like national average.
Oh, yeah, no, I like you said, I'm too sad, so I wasn't going to get sad in it. The one thing, we talked about on the wage thing. Like, for instance, our median income is 30,000. It's about 20. The national median income is like 53. So we're like 20,000
per person
across the, that's everyone in the country. But yeah, Rochester's 20,000 below the median income. And like I told about Kyle, like there was a chart where they kind of break down, you know, like per, you know, 10,000 increments, what people make. Like the last one, I think episode 15, the people, they figured out that 25% of people in Rochester make under 15K.
Jesus.
And if you combine 15K to 35K makes up 50% of our income. Like it goes 25.715, 15 to 25 is 8.3, and 25 to 35 is 14.9. They're all double or triple the national average for that bracket age range making that income. Because Rochester become, you know, we talked about the service jobs. The number one thing in Rochester now is service industry jobs, which tend to be lower paying.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you see that compared to the nation, we have so many more people making less. Instead of like, you know, being in the business sector, like a Charlotte, where in the service sector, like, you know, like we're not like a banking city, we're a call center city, for lack of a better term. That's just for the sake of the example, that's what I'm explaining. Sutherland is one of our biggest employers. Where's that? That's call center jobs, which
it's
are what? You know,
I worked there for 2 days once. It's terrible.
Yeah,
I worked there for 2 days. I worked there for
5 months and wanted like to bang my head against a wall. So like, and they tend to be, they're not, it's not like it's minimum wage, but it's same minimum wage now being $9.75. It's $11.50, $12 an hour jobs. Not bad, but it's also, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you're not bringing home 30-35K there.
They also, because you were just talking about gentrification, about them building all these nice apartments in like downtown and like just they.
Well, you have those nice apartments on the water by you, right?
But no, they aren't filling up. Like you can't expect to charge $1,500 a month for a 2-bedroom apartment when most people cannot afford that.
After taxes, that's what they bring home a month. They have to pay all their other bills.
That location there, the apartments on the water. My parents, when we drive by there, they're like, "Oh yeah, that's the projects," because that used to be the projects. That used to be like super low income housing.
The one across the street from me, with it's like the yellow and blue building.
Yeah,
and it's called, I think it's called the Meadows or something. But that's actually like where the low income housing is.
And it's literally a stone's throw next to this super expensive apartment.
Yeah, so they're trying to build super high income next to the low income.
What happens in the long run? Do they hope that like tenement basically goes away?
Well, I think that's honestly what they're thinking, but no one has the fucking money to do it. So what's going to happen to all these buildings? Are they going to fucking go empty?
Because what happens, like, because do you have to kick the people out then? I don't know how housing or urbanization.
You just keep raising the rent till they can't afford it.
Because if you're, they're getting government stipends, do you just raise the point where the government, you know, like, I don't know how that all works. So I guess I'm running into a blank because I don't know how you get people out of tenant buildings if you want to build nice houses around it. Like, does someone have to buy the building and kick everyone out, essentially? I see, well, like, we're not going to start urban planners, so yeah. I don't think we have these answers.
I don't think that urban planners are, I don't think they're doing the right things, and maybe not just in Rochester, but there's a Green Party candidate who was on the mayoral debates a while back, and he was kind of, he was definitely not going anywhere. He had a super bad haircut. He had a good point. I know,
Nick. Why?
Yeah.
Why is it always the hair with you?
No, he had a bad haircut. I know.
Exactly. I mean, maybe he was trying to get some vibes from our current president.
I don't like that this podcast describes the Harris principles and thoughts.
Hey, you wear cool hats, Tom. You got it made.
Okay. I got to represent for my fellow balds.
Yeah, so this Green Party candidate, he said, like, the problem is, you know, they build up, and he used the example of an apartment complex, and he said, like, you know, you build up this apartment complex, as a way to say, like, oh, we're benefiting the city. But all you're really doing is giving some guy, the guy that's going to build the apartment complex, this huge...
tax break?
This huge tax break, huge stipend to build the apartment complex. And it's really only benefiting that guy. It's not benefiting all the people that have to pay rent to live at that apartment. And I feel like, you know, you name it, that's... A lot of the issues here is they're benefiting more of the already propertied, like the business owners, more than like the actual regular people who are looking for jobs.
Yeah, to give it more of a national feel by national, I mean Syracuse. When I was driving through on vacation, one of the big apartment buildings, you know, it's an old school building, but it's like 10 stories tall. They're completely gutting the whole thing in front of the pictures. It looks like they're trying to put in super nice apartments. So just same thing. Give a context. Happen in Syracuse too.
Get richer in the poor.
Going 60 miles down the road.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, and Rochester especially, you know, we're feeling the weight of the economic problems of the nation. But in the cities that are thriving right now, I feel like it's all kind of in a bubble that will burst eventually because they're not really concrete things they're making money on, or not concrete things they're giving people to do for work.
Well, you mentioned that because we're doing all these things, but we don't have the money, the financial backing to support most of these grand ideas. Like, you're going to need more, you know, more companies, more business to come up.
The thing, like, if you want, like, for example, let's take the median income from a very base standpoint. You know, if you want to raise the median income, you want to get better workers who are going to command a higher salary. What companies are moving to Rochester? They're going to commit, you know, millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to get that workforce here.
Well, you need a new business that's going to, you know, have the money and, you know, the industry to support it. I'm sorry to always go back to this, but I believe it's eventually going to be the marijuana industry once our state wise and like understands that cannabis is the way to go.
I mean, what are the few industries making money right now?
It's like more viable than a lot of other things.
I mean, right. What's profitable? So many different products you can create. Not just for
marijuana's
smoking.
Profitable. Gambling's profitable.
Right.
But you can argue if there's pros and cons to each. But what else besides that? The healthcare industry, which
people,
we already have a ton of.
What did people love doing during the fucking depression? They loved drinking. And wasn't drinking illegal?
Well, look at what business just had like a renaissance. Genesee Brewery.
Well, I mean, the Kennedys were bootleggers before they were presidents.
Right.
Yeah. Well, with a lot.
I don't know how much fact there is, but I
no, it's very true. But
you know, the Kennedy's dad was actually a bootlegger in the '20s, and that's where they assumed got their wealth from.
He had how many sons get assassinated?
Kennedy curse,
like,
bro.
All of them.
It's real.
Yeah, all of them, and I think even before John, he had like another son that was going to be president, not RFK.
Yeah, I guess I'll kind of throw this out then.
Well, Ted Kennedy.
Wrap it up. I mean, you know, Rochester has had its ups and downs, and I don't know if you really want to call it right now like a stagnation. Do you guys think it's going to turn around and we might see like another rebirth or, I guess, better times on the whole in Rochester? Like, do you see jobs or different business sectors coming in here? Do you think we're just kind of at a point where like other Rust Belt cities either didn't get into business or didn't adapt to changing climates that we're just kind of, we are where we are and that's all it's going to be?
I think what's going to honestly happen is with all like the global warming stuff that's going on, it's really just going to push people further our way. So I do see our area, Rochester, and especially with us being around all the fresh water. I feel like I'm like, I keep going back to this, but
in theory, it makes sense that like, because the Great Lakes are the largest freshwater source in the world.
No, not in the world, but I think we're tied.
I thought,
with like
but all five together, it's just there's by like volume, just the sheer amount.
20% of the world's fresh water is in the Great Lakes. So natural disasters, everything, but like all the hurricanes that are going on near the coastal areas, you think it's going to get to a point where these people are salvaging these areas? It's going to be, you know, you can't keep throwing money at an issue that's not going away. You're going to want to go to an area where you know you're going to be safe. You know you're going to have food, you know you're going to have fresh water, and that's up here. And they've shown charts of like global warming, like the average temperature increase. We're still in a safe spot, even like 40 and 50 years when these places are just getting hotter and hotter. Our area is still kind of staying around the norm. And I just think what's going to happen is there's going to be a mass exodus from these areas where it's not viable to live anymore. And they're going to all come up here, and it's just going to make more sense. So I think, if I were a betting man, if I had the money, I would buy up a lot of properties. around here, especially like the suburbs. I could see just there'll be a lot of growth. So, yeah, I think we're gonna prosper. I do. Not right now, but definitely.
Well, I know one company I think will. Obviously, everyone, Wegmans is expanding, and everyone up here knows Wegmans. Amazon, everyone probably saw, they recently bought Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And I think that's a direct competition to Wegmans. So I think if Amazon buying Whole Foods goes national, that Wegmans might start ramping up its efforts. If you know Whole Foods start popping up and Amazon really tries to take over the grocery market business, so...
Maybe. Rochester, I think Rochester, Wegmans.
I'm not saying more Wegmans, but like more Wegmans jobs
isn't going away.
No, they're not. I'm just saying we might get more jobs in Rochester as Wegmans expands for, you know, more like, but more like actual jobs in the company that would be based in Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like recruiters, coordinators, things like that that are based here in their home state as they try to, if they want to go national to compete with what Whole Foods is going to become with Amazon's $9 billion backing.
I mean, I think one of Rochester's greatest challenges, I hope it doesn't come to like the global warming leading people here, but honestly, I can't see us nationally leading a world effort to stop global warming, so it probably will come
well,
to
if,
something like
if
that.
Well, if we're one of three nations that allegedly doesn't believe in global warming, it's kind of hard.
Yeah, and we're, you know,
one of the greatest polluters,
consumer of all that stuff. Are we still more than China? I think us and China both do our damage.
But China's actually doing stuff to...
Yeah, China's actually investing in...
renewable energy and all
and
that.
I think they're actually, as one of the, if not the biggest polluter, China's also the biggest investor in alternative energy.
Wow, imagine if we did that.
Yeah.
And actually, like, recycled efficiently.
Yeah. I think Rochester's greatest challenge is bridging diverse communities and kind of just realizing like, hey, we're all in this place together, and if we can help everyone out, not just certain parts of the city or even certain suburbs, that will benefit all of us. I feel like we're still supremely racially segregated, even, you know, compared to like southern cities and stuff, where we're still extreme segregated, and I don't really know what's gonna bridge that. I don't think gentrification will help. I think it's kind of pissing more people off who felt like they, you know, already had a stake in a all right community. But something's got to be done, because I mean, you looked at the stats, like African Americans in poverty are getting hit a lot harder, right, than...
Yeah, the graph isn't the total numbers, so I didn't get a percent. We still have a 33% poverty rate across as a city in general, which I'm sure has to be extremely high. I don't know what a standard poverty rate is, but I know 33% can't be good.
Yeah, and I think there's too many people...
but that fits in line with the 25% of people making under $15,000.
I think there's too many people who are racist in different degrees, and, you know, even at the lowest degree, they're blaming people on welfare for being lazy and whatnot. And it's, you know, look at the city as a whole and you'll see that they're just basically in the wrong place at the wrong time, and things will get better, but only if we see our interconnectedness in this place.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to leave it on a happy note. Coming together. Anyone have anything to say before I do my patented infamous outro? Nope. Okay. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to Keeping It 1492. Like us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. You can listen to us on our website. We got on the SoundCloud, the iTunes, and we are now on YouTube. Have a good night, everyone.
Eagle me out.